Exodus chapter 20. And again, we're turning to, in particular, those verses, running from verse 8 to the verse 11. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Last Lord's Day morning, you recall we dealt with the Christian and the Sabbath day. We see, first of all, that God Himself set us an example, gave us a pattern for us to follow. Namely, He remembered and set apart one day and seven following His creation. We know that from Exodus 20 here in verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested. The seventh day wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the Lord set us an example through His work of creation. Our next point was that not only did the Lord set the Sabbath day by example through His creation, but also we have His commandment. The Scriptures make it clear that God made the Sabbath day permanent. We pointed out the word Sabbath does not mean seventh. The word Sabbath means rest. And so God has given us a day of rest, one day out of seven. If anyone should keep and observe the Sabbath day, then the Christian should. We noted that from Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. Because the Lord there speaks about delivering Israel, redeeming Israel out of Egypt, and the Lord said, therefore, dealing with those who had been redeemed out of Egypt, therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. And of course the great controversy or matter for debate is, why then do we observe the first day of the week and not the seventh day, like the Seventh-day Adventists do? They, of course, as we pointed out last week, always like to tell you or put forth the view, you know, it was the Church of Rome changed the day from the Saturday to the Sunday, as they call it. Well, the Scriptures go further back than the Church of Rome, and would rather obey what the Scriptures tell us and what Rome tells us. And how did the change come about? Change came about through the Lord's resurrection. The Lord's resurrection from the dead. And when did He rise from the dead? It was on the first day of the week. The seventh day reminds us of God's work of creation. But the first day of the week reminds us of God's work of redemption and resurrection. When the Lord defeated the grave, we pointed out also that in Acts 20 and verses 6 and 7, 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2, that it was upon the first day of the week that the disciples met and God's people met. And you recall, we pointed out what they met for on the first day of the week. There was the first day of the week, the period. Then the people, we're told in Acts 20 and verses 6 and 7, the disciples came together. What was the purpose for the breaking of bread? The Lord's table. And the preaching of the word. Paul preached unto them. And so we see that it was a worship service, the first day of the week. We pointed out also the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, that the offering for the Lord's work is taken up on the first day of the week. You recall how John on the Isle of Patmos spoke about the Lord's Day. We're glad to call it the Lord's Day. That is the first day of the week. We're glad to call it the Lord's Day because it was the first day of the week. The Lord conquered the grave and death and hell and the devil. It's the Lord's Day. We ought to acknowledge what the Lord has done and done for us in going to the cross, shedding his blood, giving up the ghost and laid in the grave and then rising on the first day of the week, conquering death. So it is the Lord's Day. And it was changed from the seventh to the first day of the week because of Christ's victory over death. Rising on the first day of the week, and as I said, the apostles, the disciples, and the church at Corinth, the examples that are given, they met on the first day of the week. So we considered the Christian and the Sabbath day. I want this morning to go on a bit further and consider the Christian and our Sabbath duty. What is our duty regarding the Lord's Day? We see from this fourth commandment that man should work 6 days of the week. The same rule is found in the New Testament. God expects us to be workers. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And then again, Paul told the same believers, Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So we see clearly the scriptures teach that we are to be workers. Of course, that's not applying to people who are retired or who are ill or end of that nature. But anyone who is able-bodied, God expects us to be workers. Paul was teaching the believers at Thessalonica that he expected them to be laborers and not to be lazy. The apostle himself was a hard worker. If you go over to Acts, and there in Acts chapter 18, we see how good of a worker the apostle Paul was. Acts 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them, that is, Paul came unto them, and because he was of the same craft as Aquila and Priscilla, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. And we see that Paul had been a tent maker. And when he came and spent time with Priscilla and Aquila, he helped them out. He worked. And so Paul was a worker. He was not only involved in the Lord's work, but he readily worked with his hands and did some tent making while he was in that particular home. The word wrought, says Paul, wrought. That word wrought means to work, it means to toil, it means to labor. And so we see how Paul worked and how he wrought and how he labored. And again, that's what the Word of God teaches. We're to be laborers. We're to be workers. You notice then in Proverbs chapter 18, Solomon has something to say about working. Proverbs 18 and verse 9, he also that is slothful in his work. You're lazy. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. I'm sure we have used that term at some time or another describing an individual who's lazy. Say, oh, he's a real waster. Well, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. So we can see, it's very clear, that God expects his people to be workers. And here in the fourth commandment, the Lord, for those hard workers, the Lord provides a day of rest for those who are hard workers. And here God speaks about the work and the Sabbath. Our work and the Sabbath. Regarding the Sabbath, or the Lord's day, and work, we are given, first of all, God's precept. God's precept. As we have seen, God has given man 6 days. God set the example. He did all his work. The seventh day, he rested. So there's God's precept. And God commands that we give him 1 day out of 7. Didn't ask for anything more. He asked for 1 day out of the 7. He asked for 1 day of 7 that we devote to him. When Israel came out of captivity and returned to Jerusalem, they brought some of the wails of the ungodly Babylonians with them. Of course, we know that the books of Ezra and Nehemiah deal with the return out of captivity back to Jerusalem and the building again of the temple, and Nehemiah was involved in building the walls around Jerusalem. If you turn to Nehemiah, please. And there in Nehemiah, and chapter 13, here we see Nehemiah dealing with the Sabbath day and dealing with the behavior of the Israelites who came out of captivity. We read then in Nehemiah 13 and verse 15, in those days saw I in Judah some trading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, figs and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, was brought fish and all manner of ware and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? If you go down to verse 19. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark, that is at the close of the day, before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye at the gates that there should no burdens be brought in on the Sabbath day. And so Nehemiah was a true Sabbatarian. You can read the rest of the chapter. And you'll find that the traders, when the gates were shut, they all hung around outside the closed gates. Well, Nehemiah went out and chased them as well. And told them basically not to be hanging around the gates of the city of Jerusalem. Israel was treating the Lord's Sabbath like any other day of the week, even though it was to be kept holy unto the Lord. You turn, please, to Isaiah. In Isaiah 58. Again, reference is made to the Sabbath and keeping it holy. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. Isaiah 58 verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure, that is, you notice the word from is in italics. And so the prophet is saying, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, doing thy pleasure, on my holy day, then goes on to exhort, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. That reminds me, those words there, speaking thine own words on the Sabbath day, reminds me of a story that the late Reverend John Wiley told. He was talking about the Sabbath day, and he said two farmers, it was the Lord's day, and he said they were standing looking over a gate into a field. And one of the farmers said to the other, he says, you know, if it wasn't the Lord's day, I would give you, I'd bid you a price for that bull. The other farmer said, if it wasn't the Lord's day, what would that price be? So they were sort of making a sham of the Lord's day. But we see from the references that we have given there in Isaiah 58 and Nehemiah 13 and the commandment itself, we see what God's precept is. As well as God's precept, we want to look at what God permits on the Lord's Day. There are some works which God permits and allows to be done on the Sabbath day. They are summed up as works or deeds of necessity, mercy, and piety. Deeds of necessity, deeds of mercy, and deeds of piety. The fourth commandment is not a harsh, cruel imposition surrounded by endless legalistic hair splitting that we see with the Pharisees. In the Gospels we are told about the deeds of necessity and mercy that the Savior permitted, and indeed he himself performed. Sure, don't we remember how often when we've gone through the Gospels, how often the Pharisees were there, wherever the Lord was, and if he did anything on the Sabbath day, they criticized him, they condemned him. But the Lord was attending to deeds of mercy and deeds of necessity. The Lord made it clear that there are matters which could be, and yea, had to be attended to on the Sabbath day. The Lord has made it clear. You turn to Mark chapter 2. Now we read in Mark 2, we quoted these verses last week. Mark chapter 2. And there we read in verses 27 and 28. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man. The Lord has given us the Sabbath. The Lord has done that for us. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That's what the Pharisees did. They brought in all kinds of rules and regulations that had no scriptural foundation at all. And when anyone broke their rules and their regulations, Pharisees were out to condemn them. Said unto them, the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath, therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. The Lord, Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. So we follow him, his teaching, not the teaching of the Pharisees. The Lord spoke to the criticizing Pharisees about deeds of mercy being carried out on the Sabbath day. For example, if you turn please to Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. There in Luke chapter 14, in the opening few verses. Luke 14, verse 1, and it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. Oh, aye. You can always be sure of that. The Pharisees were near him at all, and they were never too far away. It's the Sabbath day, so they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees. See, he knew what they were thinking. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? That would be an act of mercy. So he challenged the Pharisees, and they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go, and answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. No, they couldn't. What the Lord was dealing with there were deeds of mercy, healing the man who was sick, and the deed of necessity, pulling an ox out of a ditch. You weren't going to let it lie there until the next day. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew 12, there we read the opening verses again of the chapter. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, it's hard to believe, isn't it? That here you have the Lord and his disciples. They're not in the temple. They're not in a synagogue. They're not in a town or a village. They're in the field. And there's the Pharisees following the Lord into the fields in order that they might criticize him. And we are told that the disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, he said unto them, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. He said unto them, Have ye not read? That was always the problem of the Pharisees. They didn't know the scriptures. The Lord said, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. The Lord was then again emphasizing this was a necessity. This was a necessity. David and his men were hungry. They couldn't wait a whole day. And then we read, Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? In other words, the Lord was saying, Have ye not read that the priests were laboring in the temple on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath day? And people would say, Oh, they profaned the Sabbath. But that was a deed of piety. They had things to do on the Sabbath day. And so the Lord taught. And you can see how the Lord was no hard-hearted individual. He dealt with those matters pertaining to necessity and mercy and piety. And so our works which are done on the Sabbath day. Farmers know that their animals need to be fed on the Sabbath day. Cows need to be milked. You can't do that the day before and you can't leave it till the day after. Cows need to be milked. Doctors, nurses, surgeons need to carry out their deeds of necessity and mercy. There's a car accident somewhere and people are seriously injured. The ambulance drivers have to work. Paramedics have to work. Bring those injured to the hospital, and nurses are there, summons, and doctors are summons, and surgeons are summons. They have to work. What is that? That's a deed of necessity and mercy. Firefighters must respond to calls. 911, police, shift workers have to, because of their situation, work on the Sabbath day. It's a deed of necessity, a deed of mercy, and deeds of piety. So we have God's precept. We've looked at what God permits. Next we see what God promises. We know that God has said, 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, they that honour me, I will honour. And the Lord, in the fourth commandment, exhorts us to honour him by keeping holy the Sabbath day. And that is something which God will honour us for doing. Turn again to Isaiah chapter 58. In Isaiah 58, there we read again in verses 13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honourable, and shall honour him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Verse 14. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And what does he promise them? And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. What do those words mean? They simply mean the Lord says, I will bless you. I will bless you if you keep my day and honour the Lord's day. I will bless you. We have a modern day example of that. You've ever been to the States and visited Chick-fil-A? It's one of our favourite restaurants when we're there. It's owned by a Christian man. We may not agree with everything the man does. I don't know him at all. But one thing I do know, none of his restaurants are open on the Lord's Day. None of them. And there are some shopkeepers, and they would say, oh, I couldn't afford to close one day out of the seven. I need to be open 7 days a week to make anything. Well, Chick-fil-A close every Lord's Day. And you know something? Next to McDonald's, they're the most popular restaurant in North America. They're next to McDonald's in trade and custom. And they don't open on the Lord's Day. See, God keeps his word. God honors that people who will honor him. As well as the Sabbath and work, that leads us to consider the Sabbath and worship. What does the Lord's Sabbath mean to us? Do we look forward to this one day in seven? Do we think, say, Friday, well, another day and it'll be the Lord's Day? Do we look forward to the first day of the week? We've already pointed out in Exodus 23, verse 12, about resting and being refreshed. See, the Lord knows about us. He knows that we need a day to be refreshed in body and in soul. That word refreshed in Exodus 23, verse 12, the word refreshed comes from a Hebrew word meaning breath. And it may be translated to catch your breath. Isn't that interesting? You know, maybe there's one particular day and you're engaged in hard labor and you look forward to maybe lunchtime and you say, boy, it'd be good to get sitting down to catch my breath. That's what the Lord said. You'll be refreshed. 6 days shalt thou labor, and the seventh is a day of rest. For us, the first day. We'll be refreshed. We'll be able to catch our breath. And don't we look forward to the Lord's day? That after our work being done for the week, we look forward to going to the house of God. It's great. Going to the house of God to worship the Lord. And for God has graciously given us one day in which we might be refreshed physically and spiritually. Just as the Lord has said, Leviticus 23, verse 3, 6 days shalt thy work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Convocation. That word means a calling together. So the Lord's Day or the Sabbath day is a day of rest. It is also a holy convocation. It is a coming, a calling together. And we've already noted that in Acts 20, verses 6 and 7. You have the coming together of the disciples on the first day of the week. And they came together to worship. They came together on the first day of the week for the breaking of bread, for the preaching of the word. It was a holy convocation. Just as the Lord has directed us, saying, Isaiah 66 and verse 23, and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. It's the Lord's command. One Sabbath to another, every Sabbath that comes, the Lord says, all flesh shall come worship before me. And of course, we can do no better than to follow the example of the Savior himself. Did the Lord observe the Sabbath day? Well, if you turn to Luke 4, and here's the Lord at the very commencement of his ministry. We come to Luke 4, in verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, so here's something the Lord did on a regular basis. Now here he's beginning his public ministry. There were 30 years of silence where we didn't know anything that the Lord did. So he's coming out now to begin his public ministry. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up for 30 years. And as his custom was, over those 30 years, it was his custom to do what? He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. So we see that the Lord had been brought up that way when he lived in Nazareth with Mary and his earthly father Joseph, as his custom was. Now we should remember something, that in Mark 6 and verse 3, we're told that for those first 30 years, The Lord worked with his hands. Before he commenced his public ministry, the Lord worked with his hands. For we read in Mark 6, verse 3, when they saw the Lord Jesus, they said, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary?" So obviously there were those who knew the Lord, were familiar with him as he went about Nazareth before his public ministry commenced. And they knew what he did during those 30 years. They said he was a carpenter. But do you notice? When he commenced his public ministry, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. In other words, while he labored with his hands as a carpenter, when it came to the Sabbath day, he observed the Sabbath. And he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You read through the Gospels, you'll find that repeated over and over. Luke 6, verse 6, Luke 13 and verse 10. He's in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, the place of worship. So we have considered our work on the Sabbath, our worship on the Sabbath. And then we have the wisdom of the Sabbath. Of course, God is all wise. He knows all things. And he gave us that one day in seven, that we might, as it were, catch our breath. A day of rest. Because you see, God knew what man needs. Psalm 139, verse 14. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." In other words, God was the one who made us. And being our maker and our creator, he made us. He knows what we need. He knows what we need. And in his wisdom, out of 7 days, he gave us one day to rest and to catch our breath and be refreshed to begin another day, another week's work. Finally and quickly, we have considered the Christian on the Sabbath day, the Christian on the Sabbath duty, and then you have the Christian on the Sabbath delight. Delight. That's what the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, ought to be to every Christian, a delight. Does not the psalmist speak for us when he said, Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We shall be glad, glad, and rejoice in it." And incidentally, those words refer to the Sabbath day. "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it." That word glad, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. The word glad may also be rendered rejoice. And so if you read it that way, I will rejoice and rejoice in it. There's the experience of the psalmist. In other words, the Sabbath day is a day of rejoicing and rejoicing. It's a delight. It ought to be a delight to every Christian. We notice not only experience, but it's a day of religious exercise. That is, we can give the day of worship to the Lord in his house. And again, quoting the psalm, quoting David, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Is that our testimony? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. From hearing the conversation of the world for 6 days, isn't it good to go to the Lord's house on the Sabbath day and listen for the voice of God through the preaching of the Word? For 6 days, one way or other, we hear the music of the world. Isn't it a delight to go to the Lord's house and hear the piano or the organ playing and unite our voices in singing praises to the Lord? That's what it's all about. The Lord has given it to us, a day to experience, a day of religious exercise, and a day of great expectation. We quoted those words and referred to those words in Isaiah 58 verses 13 and 14. How the Lord said He will bless those who will keep His day. He'll bless them. That's our expectation. We can expect the Lord to bless us if we hallow His day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord, we bless Thee for the Word. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy instruction. How Thou dost care for us and care about us. Thou knowest our frame. Thou, Lord, rememberest that we are dust. And, O Lord, we thank Thee for giving us that day, this day, of rest, that, Lord, we might, as it were, catch our breath, be refreshed, and be ready for another week's work. Lord, write Thy word upon our hearts. May we meditate upon it, knowing, Lord, Thou wilt bless us if we remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Be with us, Lord, throughout this day. Grant everyone traveling mercy. Be pleased, Lord, to return us to Thy house this evening. We might learn more from Thee and about Thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, abide and remain with us now, till the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.